Take your Bible with me tonight, please, and turn to the book of Judges. The book of Judges. We're on the ninth lesson already, hard to believe, as we go through this series on treasures of darkness. As you're turning to Judges chapter 14, I want to remind us of the goals for the series. The goals for the series. Number one, there's four main goals. Number one, to find the treasures of darkness that God has for us during difficult times in life. Number two, to understand that our great comfort is in the presence of God, not in the absence of trouble. That's kind of one that seems to stick out to me. To see that God, number three, to see that God allows things in our lives to prepare us to be what He desires for us to be. And then fourthly, to trust the Lord during days of darkness, knowing that God has a perfect understanding of the past, the present, and the future. This lesson is number nine, as I said a moment ago. The lesson title is Out of the Eater Came Forth Meat. We have five different aims that are for this lesson. Number one, to realize that the devil seeks to destroy anyone that God desires to bless and use. And could I say, in adding to that, God desires to bless and use all of His children. There isn't any child of God that God doesn't desire to bless and use. So that means that the devil wants to destroy all of you, all of us that fit into that category. So if you're saved, I can guarantee you God wants to bless you. And God wants to use you for His glory. So that means the devil, you know, he's got his target ready for you and ready for me. Number two, to see that God can use the most difficult things in life to nourish our souls and bring glory to Himself. Number three, to recognize that God cannot use us in a mighty way until our hearts have been broken. You look at all the men and women in the Bible that went through challenging times. They were broken. And how God used them in a mighty way. You can also study church history and you will find that many of the mightiest men and women of God, not that we're aspiring for that, neither were they. I heard a radio drama last night of Adoniram Judson and his wife. Wow. If you've never read anything about Adoniram Judson, I would encourage you to write that name down and read about Adoniram Judson and how he translated the Bible into, I've just lost the language that he translated it into. He was seeking to translate the Bible for the, not the Indian people, Burmese, there we go. And he went to the Burmese people. And he was arrested, and he was imprisoned. Was it Ann Judson, his wife's name? I think that was her name. She ended up dying. Their child died. And you say, what's the point? You know, he worked for the Lord for numbers of years, and no one got saved. No one. I think it was like 7 years in before he had one person convert to Christianity. Now, I don't know about you, but after about year number one, I would have been saying, you know what, I'm going to go play golf because this is not working. I'm serious. I don't think I would have had the fortitude of courage of Adoniram and Ann Judson. 2 years gone by, now 3, 4, 5, 7 years in. I can't remember, I should have written it down. But something like 100 years after all of this took place, there were hundreds of Bible preaching or Bible believing Christians in Burma, because he did end up translating the Bible into the Burmese language. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I'm just saying that, like we heard this morning, you know, to surrender our lives to the Lord doesn't mean that it's going to be follow the yellow brick road to the Wizard of Oz. Okay, it's not going to work that way. There's going to be trials, there's going to be difficulties, but at the end, when we go through those trials and when we go through those difficulties, God gives us a peace that passes all understanding that will keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Number four, to learn in the midst of suffering that the Lord Jesus is all sufficient. Amen to that. And then lastly, to know the sweetness of the Lord Jesus and to show others that he can help them in their time of need. So that's the aims. Now, here we go. We've got to get right into this. Lesson number 9, Judges. You're in Judges 14, but let's turn over to Judges 13 for just a moment, just one page back. God's word says, and the children of Israel did evil again. Maybe you want to underline that word again. You know, if you know anything about the nation of Israel in the Bible, the people of God, you know that it is the roller coaster of all roller coasters. And we heard about how God delivered them this morning from the land of Egypt, and we heard from the nation of Egypt, picture of the world, and we heard how God brought them through the wilderness, even though they said 12 men went to spy on Canaan, 10 were bad and 2 were good, and we heard all about that, and then they got their way back to the mighty Jordan River, they got across, they went into the land of Canaan, and picturing the victorious Christian life, and you would have thought they would have just kept right on going and serving God and conquering and going, but no. That's not how it worked. Unfortunately, their flesh got the best of them many times. And here it says that the children of Israel did evil again. Aren't you glad for the mercy of God? Are you out there tonight? Aren't you glad for the mercy of God? You know, a just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again. I'm glad for the mercy of God because I can read this tonight and I can try to pound on the nation of Israel in the Old Testament, but you know what? Sometimes it pictures you and me. The Bible says that they did evil again. This is God's people in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of the who? The Philistines, 40 years. Wow, 40 years. 40 years of bondage. Why? Because they did evil. Basically, God said, okay, do evil. This is what you get. They chose it. In fact, God did not even choose it for them. They chose it. Verse 2. There was a certain man of Zorah, not Zorro, okay? Are you there? Are you awake? Quiet tonight. Of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah. And his wife was barren and bare not. This would end up being the mother of the man that we're reading about tonight. Verse 3, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, behold, now thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine or strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing, for lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God. We find in the Bible there were 3 famous Nazarites. This is one of them, Samson. Another one was Samuel, and another one was John the Baptist. These are 3 famous individuals, men in this case, who took the Nazarite vow. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb. He shall begin to deliver Israel. Now this is she hadn't even had the baby yet. She hadn't even conceived yet. And the angel of God is saying, you're about to have a baby. I know you haven't had one yet, but you're about to have one. He's going to be a Nazarite. Here's all the restrictions. And this guy, this man, is going to be used of God to deliver. Now, I don't know exactly how his mother would have thought here, but because I'm not a lady. But anyway, I might have thought for a minute, you know, A, we're in bondage. B, I've never had a baby. And you're telling me both those things are going to happen? Wow. What a message. Kind of reminds you of the message that the angel of the Lord gave to Mary, isn't it? The child that's conceived in you will be of the Holy Ghost. The highest shall overshadow thee. He shall save his people from their sins. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. But here we see the judge, a judge who would be born of this lady. And this judge, his name would be Samson. We won't take time tonight, but you can read more about the Nazarite vow in Numbers chapter 6, verses 1 to 8. But here we find the nation of Israel is in a dire strait. They are in bondage. And now we go to Judges chapter 14, please. Samson is of age, and Samson, the Bible says, went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Remember, that's who they're under bondage from, Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now, therefore, get her for me to wife. I'm just going to say right now, that's not a good way to go to your dad or mom and say, I want that woman over there, now get her for me. Samson went about it the wrong way. Samson went about it in a backwards way, quite frankly. But that's what he did. The lust of the eyes. Notice what it says. He saw a woman. Now, I'm not going to read between the Hebrew lines there. But if he saw a woman and he said he wanted her, he knew nothing about her character. If the door's knocking, somebody, come on, open the door. Hey, Christian young person, don't base your choice of a mate on what you see. You better know that individual. You better find out, A, is that individual a believer? But here, and I can't get on that rabbit trail tonight. That's a lot of hopping going on that rabbit trail. But anyway, he saw, and really when you read that, that should be an alarm going off it's an alarm going off. Because he was basing his choice on the lust of the eyes. Now, hey, you know what? Nothing wrong with marrying a pretty woman. Amen. Thank you. There you go. Let's be honest about it, all right? I'm thankful I found one. Hallelujah. 31 and a half years now. I'm not talking about that. I'm just saying, I don't know everything here that's, in between the lines, but he knew nothing. All he said was he saw her and says, I want her. I can hear him, anyway. We'll just move on here. And he said, not only that, but notice he says he wanted a wife of the Philistines. Okay, now were they God-fearing people? No, they weren't. They were pagan-worshipping people. So he should have never even given that one iota of thought. We've been hitting on that the last couple of weeks for some reason. So let the Lord have his way in our life on this. God would still even work even in the midst of this. So we got to get into the outline. Number one, we find the roar of Satan. The roar of Satan. Look at verse number 5 of that chapter. The Bible says, when Samson went down with his father and his mother to Timnath and came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. Now, I don't believe in the Old Testament that people were indwelt by the Spirit of God. I don't believe that happened until we find that in the New Testament. But we do find in the Old Testament that at several different places and times that the Spirit of God came upon people temporarily, if you will. And this is one of them when the Bible says here that Samson rent him as he would have rent a kid. That's talking about a goat, all right? And he had nothing in his hands, okay? So he had no knives, no samurai swords, no nothing, bare hands. Takes the young lion, the roaring young lion, and rips the young lion in half with his bare hands. That's what it says. That lion comes into play later, at least his carcass does. But he told not his father or his mother what he had done. And he went down and talked with the woman. This is the same woman that he said, that's the one. And he talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. A young lion means a lion that is in the prime of life. This is not grandpa lion, okay? Who he's had his better days of hunting, and his teeth are breaking off, and he's not what he used to be. This is young lion. This is prime lion. And Samson, it didn't matter. Samson was empowered by the Holy Spirit of God, and he was victorious, and this lion had no chance. God chose to bless Samson in spite of Samson. You know, Samson's one of those Bible stories for me. You may look at it differently, and that's fine. This isn't about the interpretation of it. But I look at it, and for me, it's very sad. Because here's a man who God literally had blessed from the time of his womb. And here's a man who did so much for God and had so much potential for God. But it goes all the way to the end of his life, and we're going to look at that here in a minute. And we see him blinded, we see him weakened, we see him grinding for the enemy, the Philistines. A weakened condition. And he could have done so much for God. And yes, you know, if you know the end of the story, I guess we'll wait until we get to that. But I look at Samson's life as one that it should have gone a different way. It should have gone a different way. The devil is a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. He is after you. He is after me. Remember, he seeks to destroy anyone whom God seeks to bless. Who does God seek to bless? Every one of his children. Every one of his children. Remember, we have a merciful God. We have a merciful God. And so he still has a judge ready to go to help them, even though they have gone against him. And yet he says, you know what? I have a plan in place. I have this judge, and there were many judges. I have this judge in place. In spite of your idolatry worship, in spite of the way you're going, I'm going to still send you a deliverer. And that was Samson. Satan will pass by the cage door of our life over and over again. And what is Satan looking for? Here's what he's looking for. He's not looking for a wide open invitation. He's looking for one little crack. The Bible says it this way, neither give place to the devil. It's a very serious subject. Far too many Christian young people have been devoured. By the way, if they walked to the door back there, if they were a young man, I would put my arm around their neck and I would hug them. And I would say, I love you. Are you coming back to the Lord? That's what I would do. Far too many have been devoured. And you know, here's the problem. Most of them will not come back because of embarrassment. And you know what that is? That is the lie of the devil too. Because he tells them, don't go back there because they're going to condemn you, they're going to judge you, they're going to do this, they're going to do that. And that's the devil's lie. Not only did he get them out of the door, but he keeps them from coming back because he lies. And by the way, it might be you next. This is not a joking subject. Samson had everything going for him, and it did not end well. Don't give Satan, young person, adult, whoever, whatever age bracket, don't give Satan a little space. Don't give him anything, because he will roar. And his roar is powerful. He is devouring. One right after another. Don't let Satan do that. By the way, greater is he that is in us as believers than he that is in the world. We have the Word of God, the Spirit of God, the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. We have everything we need to be victorious. Everything. Use what we've been given. The roar of Satan. Number two, we find the riddle of Samson. This is what we read in verse 14. We find Samson gives a riddle. Look at verse number 12. The Bible says, and Samson said unto them, I will now put forth a riddle unto you. If ye can certainly declare it me within the 7 days of the feast and find it out, then I will give you 30 sheets and 30 change of garments. But if ye cannot declare it me, Then shall ye give me 30 sheets and 30 change of garments. And they said unto him, put forth thy riddle, that we may hear it. And this is the verse that we've been looking at, reading it a few times. And he said unto them, out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness. And they could not in 3 days expound the riddle. What happens is Samson, he kills the lion. Of course, I guess he just obviously leaves the carcass of the lion there. Look at verse number 8. And after a time, he returned to take her. This is the woman of the Philistines. And he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. Behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. Now remember, he's had a Nazirite vow on him. He's not supposed to touch any dead animals. That's one of the vows. That's one of the requirements. And the Bible says he took thereof in his hands, verse 9, and went on eating, and came to his father and mother, and he gave them, and they did eat. But he told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. So his father went down unto the woman, and Samson made there a feast, for so used the young men to do. Samson then brings this riddle. And what's the riddle from? You can tell now what the riddle is from. You can tell that the riddle is from this lion. As he said there, out of the eater, that would be the lion. The lion is normally the eater. But out of the eater, the one that's supposed to be doing the eating, it was the lion who should have been eating Samson. And now Samson's reaching into the eater and he's bringing forth something to eat. Out of the eater came forth meat. And then he said, out of the strong came forth sweetness. That's obviously the honey. The lion was the eater, but out of the eater came forth meat, something to eat. What does it mean for us tonight in 2025? Well, we said earlier, who is the eater? Satan. Satan is the eater. Satan's number one objective is destruction. Remember how Satan tried to destroy Joseph in the Old Testament? In Genesis chapter 45, let's go there quickly. Genesis chapter 45. Let's destroy Joseph. Let's get Joseph's brothers to gang up on him. Genesis chapter 45. Now we come to the end of his life. Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers. He would go to the Midianites, and then he would go into Egypt. And this is amazing. If you've never looked at how God did all this, God is sovereign, and he overrules Satan all the time. Look at Genesis 45, verse 4. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and they didn't know who it was. And he said, I am Joseph, your brother. We've changed a little bit over the years, but I'm Joseph, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore, be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that ye sold me hither. For God did send me before you to what? Preserve life. Out of the eater came forth meat. It looked like Joseph was done. It looked like Joseph had no chance. I mean, slavery and, you know, before he even got through that with Potiphar and all of that, but God was working in a mighty way. Out of the eater came forth meat. How about Naaman's maid? You remember the man by the name of Naaman? He was a high up general in the Syrian army. The Bible tells us the story of how the Syrians went in and they captured this maid who doesn't have a name. She's one of the nameless heroes in the Bible. And we might, and that little girl, that young lady might have thought, boy, this is terrible. I mean, can you imagine? You have a young daughter, you have let's say even a teenage daughter of that age, and she is kidnapped from you and she's gone. That's what happened to her. She was kidnapped from her home. And now she is the servant of Naaman, the head of this Syrian army. One day Naaman has leprosy. And this little girl says to her boss, basically, if you could only get to the prophet, he could help you. And Naaman would go to the prophet, and it's a long story for another day, but the prophet would tell him, if you go to the Jordan River and dip seven times, you will be cured. The Jordan River was the dirtiest, ugliest river around. They had enough, it says that, why couldn't I go to all these other rivers? And he lists off the rivers that were a lot nicer. He ends up listening to the slave girl. He goes to that Jordan River and he dips down in that Jordan River after the first time. He came up, not a thing changed. He still had as much leprosy as he did. And he went down the second time and not a thing changed. And the third and the fourth. He went down the sixth time and came up, not a thing changed. He was just a smelly Naaman with leprosy. And if you read the story, his servants had to convince him to stay. Just do it. And he goes down that seventh time, and he comes back up. And the Bible says he looked at his skin, and it was just like the skin of a young child. Out of the eater came forth meat. Destruction to the one girl, and yet she didn't allow that to destroy her. She used that to be a help to somebody else. Ladies and gentlemen, things can happen in your life and mine. We can allow them to overrule and overrun us, or we can allow that to be something that God uses in our life to help somebody else. Out of the eater came forth meat. You may be dealing with something right now that you feel like you're about to be devoured. We've all been there. We might be there again another time. Maybe you're not feeling that way right now, but it comes. It comes in waves sometimes. God can take a situation like Joseph, like Naaman. There's many others in the Bible. And God can, as Paul wrote to the Roman Christians, in Romans chapter 8, and he can take all things and make them work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Turn to Philippians chapter 1, please. Let me show you one other example. I really like this verse. Paul is writing here. He goes right along with this thought of the riddle of Samson. Out of the eater came forth meat. Philippians chapter 1, look at verse number 12. Philippians 1:12. God's word says, "But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the what? The gospel." So what Paul is saying here is, I want you to know, church at Philippi, the things that have come to me, the challenges that have come to me, the difficulties that have come to me, because they have come to me, it has allowed the gospel to go further. Out of the eater came forth meat. What Satan can try to do in your life and mine, if we will turn to God and keep our eyes on God, trusting God and trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Out of the eater can come forth meat, time and time again in your life and mine. God is not weak in 2025. God is just as strong. God is just as able. We have different illustrations in our lives than they did in the Bible, but ultimately the same principles are there. Boy, if I could get to the attitude of Paul, I'm saying for me, if I could get to the attitude of Paul and I could say, these things that have happened to me, I don't know what that is, but whatever I think that might be, if they've allowed the gospel to go further, then I say, great, awesome. Because how long is your life? It's a vapor. How long is my life? You know, Satan is very, very strategic and very good at causing us to think about something that only lasts 70, 80, 90 years tops. And we only think about our life. If we would think about eternity, we would realize that this challenging time is such a blip on the screen of eternity. It is just a simple vapor, but to be with the Lord for eternity and to glorify Him for eternity, and then to see what our one little life going through a challenging time and how that encouraged other people, and how that we stayed with the Lord. Yes, we had very challenging days, and yes, we almost wanted to quit, and we had challenging things and this and that, but the furtherance of the gospel was there. Paul said it was okay because the gospel went further in my challenging time. The devil wanted to destroy Paul, but out of all his suffering, people came to know Christ. You know, again, we part of what we heard this morning was it's not easy following Christ. Are we willing to suffer if somebody else can come to Christ? That's not a quick answer, to be honest. Because we don't get to pick what our suffering is. That's up to the Lord. You know, there's no, okay, you pick your five choices of suffering. We're going to pick the easiest one by our sight, right? That's how we are. I'm that way. I don't like pain. How about the ultimate example? Jesus Christ is on the cross. He says, "It is finished." He bows his head. He gives up the ghost. And maybe somewhere in time right then, Satan maybe thought, "I've won the battle." I don't know that this happened, but just think about it. He's dead. We got him. Maybe there was high fives in hell. I don't know. I don't think that could happen, but just imagine, you know, it's okay to have a little bit of an imagination. Sanctified one, okay? We got him. Start up the band. Let's go. Let's party. He's dead. One day goes by. Keep the party going. He's dead. Look at him in there. 2 days go by. The party is just, I mean, it's at an all-time high. Jesus is dead. The Son of God is dead. 3 days go by. I think we still got him. Can somebody go check the tomb? That Easter morning, or whatever, resurrection morning, that first Sunday, as the demons of hell report back to Satan. I don't believe Satan is omnipresent. I don't believe he has that attribute like God does. But he's got some demons that were doing work for him. And they go back to wherever he's at, the prince and power of the air, and they say, "I'm sorry, but we got bad news. That stone's not there and his body ain't there." I don't know if they spoke that kind of good English or not, but he's gone. You see, when he died, everybody that was there, they were grieving and mourning. It was the worst day ever. The Son of God, who performed all the miracles and we watched him do all of it, he's dead. It was terrible. But wait a minute. Out of the eater came forth meat. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose the victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose. Out of the eater came forth meat. God took what was the worst day of history and 3 days later made it the best day. The death had to happen. The death had to happen. The penalty had to be paid. If there's no death, if there's no shed blood, you have no salvation. I have no salvation. So the challenging time, the grief and the agony that he bore, think of him on the cross, and the grief and the agony, that's nothing compared to what I've endured and you've endured. That is the greatest suffering ever. Because God turned his back on his Son. And at 3:00 in the afternoon, it went pitch black just like that. Oh, but that had to happen so that we could have a gospel, so that we could have a hope, so that we could have a message of hope and healing. It had to happen. And God said, "I love you so much that I'll let my Son die for you. I'll make everything possible for you to be with me one day and not be suffering and dying and all for all eternity in the lake of fire. The riddle of Samson. Number three, lastly, is the reward of the struggle. The reward of the struggle. What is the end of the riddle? Out of the strong came forth sweetness. Samson reached into that lion and took handfuls of honey and shared it with his mother and father. What does the sweetness remind us of today? The sweetness reminds us of our Savior. If you and I would be willing to reach in where we have been hurt and the Lord Jesus has come to our aid and helped us through, we will bring out some heavenly honey and be able to say to others, this is what God has done for me. Even in the midst of a great challenging time, this is what God has done for me. Out of the strong came forth sweetness. Would you turn quickly to Matthew 11? We'll close with this. Prepare for some singing and then a baptism. Matthew 11. Out of the strong came forth sweetness. Oh, let's never lose sight of the suffering of our Savior. He suffered that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. He suffered that we might one day have, we might have great peace. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come unto me, Jesus said, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me, upon you. So here, I'll give you my yoke, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. What will they find? And you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. The question is tonight, you don't have to struggle through life. We don't have to, I don't have to struggle. There is a reward in it. If we will say, here, Jesus says, come to me, I'll give you rest. Here, you take my yoke. My yoke is easy. My burden, it's light. Tonight, as we consider this Bible lesson, as you go through challenging times, as we all do, why do we do, why? You know, why does that happen? Well, we're sinful. We're sinful creatures. I'm a sinner. Sin brings destruction. I'm really glad, though, tonight that according to the Bible, if you're saved, you will never die twice. You will only die once. That's your choice. You will either choose the way of the Lord or you will choose the way that you take. Jesus said he was the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. So the way of the Lord is that way, and this way is any other way, and it's the wrong way. That's not the word of Ben, that's the word of God. So I'm thankful tonight to the message of the gospel is hope. The message of the gospel is freedom. Out of the eater came forth meat. And out of the strong came forth sweetness. Let's pray. Heavenly